Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue, it's time for Point Taken. Here are your hosts, Steve Scafidian.
Edition of Point Taken. Yeah, why are we playing that song? Because I said so. That's the way I like to come in when I'm working solo, which is the case today. We may have a guest or a surprise guest or two, but at this moment, no. How are you doing on Wednesday? Great to be with all of you. Somebody called me goofy in a comment that I saw publicly yesterday. Goofy. I can think of a lot of ways to describe it. I don't know if I'd go with goofy, but whatever that person intended with that slight. It wasn't a compliment. You'd have to explain it to me. So I'm going to talk a little bit about, let me turn my volume down, blowing my own eardrums out with my own voice. I am going to talk about a couple of election-related stories in the first half hour. And just to give you a little tease, I typically do the overtime podcast with Kristen every Wednesday. Well, Kristen is off all this week, as I've told you. She's on vacation. Well-deserved vacation. Enjoying the camping experience, apparently, in the west side, the west coast of Michigan. And I said, you know, I'm going to do it anyway, because I noticed a couple stories yesterday, and my new pattern of how I do my research is a quick scan of television, the nets, networks, and then I sort of look at social media, not in the way I used to. I don't really directly participate that much in the sense of anything related to politics. To me, it's a breath of fresh air. And as I've talked about extensively, screen time is a big personal issue with me. And I see people all the time who are obsessing with their phones. And they're not just kids, young adults, but people my age or younger, middle-aged men and women. And it frankly seems pathetic to me. So I've been on that mission for a while, and here's the standard. If you're around 3 hours a day, normal. My goal is to, I'm right at two. I'm trying to get it to like 1 hour and a half, hour and a half. If you're eight, it's pretty busy. If you're double digits, you got a problem, because as we now know, there are significant and serious impacts to one's mental health, their behavior. I would even argue levels of aggression related to extensive use of screen time. So set that aside. What am I talking about? Well, the Democratic, according to some great reporting from Molly Beck, outstanding reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, reading from the story, is asking state election officials to immediately rescind the guidance that bars voters from changing their ballots. What are we talking about? The August 11th primary, right? I know people who, I'll give you a specific example, voted for David Crowley. He dropped out, wanted to, in one case, revote, couldn't, and now, of course, he's back in. So I think the latest number is around 81,000 people have already voted, especially by mail, which is a lovely option that we have in Wisconsin, and I would encourage all lawmakers, elected officials, candidates to endorse that idea, and not the opposite. As much as I used to love going in person to vote, it's sometimes problematic. It can certainly add time to your day. I'm told we're so busy now, so you might want to think about that. And it gives people options, which I always think is a good thing. So, as I was thinking about this story, let's just say you're a Crowley voter, and you would have revoted. Are you going to go revote again? Because he's back in. The problem is, it prevents opportunity for ballot hijinks. It creates more work for clerks, county, city, and otherwise, village, who are already overworked and overburdened with the election process because the muckrakers who have made claims that the process is flawed and is ripe with abuse, even though any judicial review organizational review, independent review suggests that's not the case. So to those Democrats in the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, I'm not going to tell you to shut up already. And I'm going to get to why I'm going to say some of the things I'm going to say in the next segment, because I see what's happening. I'll tee it up this way as we get ready to go to break. First break. Most political observers that aren't highly biased, conservative or liberal, see this fall election as a potential game changer for Democrats, both nationally and in the state of Wisconsin. That's not even in debate that much. And for a lot of different reasons, around war, affordability, border policy, immigration policy, ICE, and for all those things. It's an opportunity for Democrats. But this sort of silliness, my word, not the reporting, silliness where you're trying to change the rules or rescind things that already have said, once you cast your vote, you cast your vote. We're not going to have do-overs. It's not like high school math tests now where you can just keep taking it until you pass. And you know what I think about that? That's silly. It's a, what do you call it, a trophy for last place. Seriously, it's what it is. And maybe it makes somebody feel better. Don't care. Have standards. Follow them. Live with the results. And for the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, which I'm going to tee up in a second, when you have a golden opportunity presented to you, and you do two things that I'm going to talk about specifically after the break, one has to question your sanity and how discombobulated, to use a term I hear a lot, especially on influencer talk channels or platforms. You talk about messing an opportunity up, and I'm not a Dem, but boy, it's right there in front of you unless you mess it up. Quick break. Democratic Party of Wisconsin asking for a redo. People that voted early, I think it was 81,000. I think it was a number I saw in a recent reporting, who voted for somebody and then said, oh, they're not in the race. Whether it's Missy Hughes, potentially, or obviously David Crowley, who's now back in. The problem with that idea is it causes chaos when we don't need chaos. And here's the thing. There's going to be a Democrat to vote for in November. Guaranteed. We don't know who that is yet. We can all speculate on who that is, and I'm going to get to that in a second. But you'll have an opportunity to vote for the Democrat of your choice. Maybe it's not your person, but that happens with the current slate of five. Four voters of the other candidates will be disappointed. The other one will get their choice and be able to vote for that person in November, whoever that is. Texture says with the 414, that's the risk you take voting early. You see the machine scared of Hong like the base have been ignoring for years. Let's get to that. So I did an overtime today. I recorded actually before the show because I was worked up about it. And I'm not a Democrat. I'm critical of both parties. That's sort of what I'm paid to do. I don't read talking points, although a lot of people do that on the radio, and I think it's a waste of time, but apparently some people like it. Anyway, when I see this internal turmoil, and I follow a lot of people, and I certainly hear from a lot of Democrats, influencers, which is I posted this on Threads the other day, because Threads is my platform of choice now versus Twitter, which I don't use, because Twitter's a cesspool full of hyper-aggressive, violent people who are anonymous. Stop wasting all of our times and your time. And that's a whole nother debate for a whole nother day. But I see this internal turmoil, establishment candidate versus a progressive or a change agent. Democrats, they're just looking for a candidate to put forward in November. All this back and forth that you're having, or labeling candidates that you don't like, or the fact that you're pissed off that Governor Tony Evers actually endorsed our Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. Get over yourself. The governor can do whatever he wants. And I often say this to Kristen and other people who are listening. As much disrespect that's shown to Governor Tony Evers, and I didn't vote for him, but he's a two-term governor And last time I checked, he has a D behind his name. Candidates, what have you done? What have you accomplished other than opening your yap? This stuff drives me nuts. And yet, I get some of this is inside baseball. And you can be upset about it. And the other candidates can be upset that maybe because Fran Hong is the perceived front runner. And we've had endless debates on our Friday panel and other episodes of the show where that either is or isn't true. We're going to find out how powerful Fran Hong is, how much that Democrat socialist label means pretty soon here. And surprise, surprise, Fran Hong showed up on the Drudge Report this morning, front page, her smiling face, with that question mark, will Democrats, socialists take Wisconsin, a swing state? That's a story. And if she does it, we will talk about it. But she hasn't done it yet. So that's sort of part one of the, just my observation about what I see from Democrats. Get over yourselves. You want to win a race? Be united. Find a candidate. And go forward. The back and forth, the labeling that I see now, if I was a Democrat, I would say to those who criticize the governor, how dare you? He did things. He worked with the Republican legislature. How easy do you think that is? Unless your idea is that when you get power, Democrats, you're just going to go in and do whatever you want, which is just as bad, my opinion, professional opinion, as Republicans just doing whatever they want. And I know, Democrat influencers, you've said that very thing out loud over and over and over and over again throughout the Trump administrations. If it's bad on one side, it's just as bad on the other side, progressive or not. Here's my other thing. So I'm scanning through the platforms last night. And it's very, first of all, there's too many internet smart people in our world now. They read stories. They mostly read social media, and they're experts on everything. They tell me that all the time. Oh, Steve, I saw this. I read this. Shut the hell up. You want to be an expert on something? Do it 10,000 hours, get a degree in it, then maybe I'll call you an expert. Otherwise, you're just some knucklehead who has an opinion. Let's be honest. So I see these sort of Zoom calls where the influencers of Wisconsin, the Democrats, get together. And I'll give you two themes. One is establishment versus non-establishment, over and over again. How dare they tell us who our candidate should be? First of all, influencers, no. Voters, yes. They're going to tell you loudly and clearly who the candidate is, whether you like it or not, whether you think in your influencing persuasive skills you have some control over that, you don't. And the other theme that I've taken away from these little Zoom calls or gatherings, podcast gatherings, with their goofy grins on their face, is the branding of Republicans as evil. That's stupid. And if the goal is to win a general election, you might want to back that down. Take the stupid grin off your face. Talk sensibly about what you think might happen in the general. But criticizing, one, Republican voters who may be also tired of Trump, or two, independents who frankly don't like the scolding and are just looking for a good candidate, maybe that should be part of your Zoom call podcast strategy. You all think you're experts. You're not. You're good at talking. You're good at social media. But as we found out over the past decade or so, being great at social media essentially means nothing. Unless you monetize it. And I'm guessing a lot of you folks haven't made a dime on any of this stuff. So I think, for lack of a better phrase, shut the hell up. Texter from the 715 on the Point Taken Show. Kristen's off this week on vacation, well-deserved vacation. For me, the issue with Evers is that he said, Governor Evers, that he said he'd stay out of the primary and let the people decide. Now, when the establishment and consultants get scared, he abandons his prior statement and endorses David Crowley. First of all, he's earned the right to do whatever he wants. He's governor. Two-term. That carries weight. And I know the influencer class, I just air-quoted that, doesn't like the fact that he worked with Republicans, which is actually sanity in politics. Because frankly, I'm sick and tired of hearing, you know, from either side, they're bad, we're smart, ignore them, we're going to get it done for you. And when I see influencers that have never held public office, never ran for public office, hell, I don't even know if they have jobs other than being social media influencers. Give me some resume. Give me some credentials. Otherwise, you're just, I edited myself, yapping about things you probably think you have a lot of knowledge about, but you don't. And if that hurts your feelings, I'm sorry. Many of these people I actually like. But when I see this stuff, it's just, it's stupidity. And it goes to what I posted on one of my partner Kristen's Facebook page post yesterday. Politics equals stupidity. That's where we're at. And you're exemplifying, demonstrating that, proving that point every damn day. Make the case for your candidate. Stop with the internal, you're smarter than we are, or you have a better idea of how this should play out. Voters decide, not influencers. That's always been the case. Frankly, if I know anything about voters, and I talk to a lot of them, they're sick of political consultants, and they're getting sick of influencers. After the break for news, what's the message that both parties in Wisconsin, the big ones, should be sending to voters in Wisconsin? What's the message? What is it? Tell me, 855-616-168. What's the one thing you want to hear them say? We'll do that after the break. Busy first half hour on the text line. Interesting comparisons. They're comparing me to some of the other talkers in town. If you listen to the show for longer than 2 months, you realize I could care less about that stuff. I pay no attention. I will reference narratives and sort of the themes I see in Milwaukee radio, but frankly, I just do my own thing, and Chris and I do our own thing on Point Taken, which I'm going to offend both sides, because I will not read talking points. I won't cheerlead for candidates. I'll tell you what I think about the candidates. That's sort of my job. And I think for some of our liberal, more progressive listeners, and I'm under no illusion that that hasn't changed since Chris and I have gotten together, I'm sorry if it hurts your feelings. You want a better class of candidate and elected officials? Stop listening to influencers. They're cheerleaders. They read talking points. They think in the know about what's really going on in pick the party of your choice, Republicans or Democrats. But it's empty-headed nonsense most of the time. And the ironic thing is some of these people pass themselves off as journalists or pundits or, God help us, experts on this stuff. So just be cautious in your consumption. And I understand that there's some irony here because I'm giving you my opinion about politics, but I'm an equal opportunity destroyer. I'm not going to play that game. I lean the way I lean. I tell you why I think that way. In many areas like education and fiscal policy, very conservative. Others, not so much. I support marijuana legalization. But I'll defend my positions. I would argue that the public, the voting public in Wisconsin, needs to get smarter. And that's sort of why I want to lead this conversation in a different direction. So when you think about this primary election, then general, in Wisconsin, big decisions to make, right? Congressional, gubernatorial. We will have a new governor next year. Pretty big, big decision to make. And I think what I'm most concerned about is this whole, and I created this show the way I did because I wanted to tee up the whole established versus not established. That's just wasting your time. Don't pay attention to that. Don't listen to the talking heads that are saying that stuff. It's a waste of your time. It makes you dumber, not smarter. But I'm really concerned that all voters understand what the issues in Wisconsin are and what we should be talking about. So I just did a little research this morning across the web, not the dark web, the regular web, and was sort of looking for comparisons, ratings, strengths and weaknesses of our state. I'll give you a couple of strengths. We have a relatively low state sales tax, 5%. As much as people complain, our property tax system, now where that money goes is certainly up for debate, but it's generally well regarded. We don't have in the state estate or inheritance tax. Where are we weak on the tax question? Higher than average income tax, 7.65%. Corporate income tax. All those people say corporations don't pay any money. Corporate income tax at the state level remains pretty high. The Tax Foundation ranks Wisconsin 21st of 50 states for competitiveness. Sales tax 7th, property tax 7th, individual income tax 34th. That's not good. Corporate tax 31st. That's the sort of the tax side of this thing. Housing. We're, and depending on where you look, in the top 10 to 15 for affordable, available housing. So we're more affordable than most other states, especially in single-family homes. Crime, another big topic of communication among people. Violent crime in Wisconsin below national average. Although those of us who live or work in Milwaukee or visit Milwaukee know that that jumps or spikes up our numbers for the state. And I've said this for years doing my own show and with Kristen, fixing crime, solving crime, combating crime in Milwaukee is the best way to make our state look better. And Kristen and I work very proactively on telling the true story about that in our state and in our city. If you want to look at a comparison, again, that those rankings, Wisconsin ranks in the top third for public safety. And here's the thing that I know very well because I spent a whole month talking about public safety. The men and women who work in public safety care deeply about their job, their communities, and the state they live in. That's not up for debate, and it's not disputed. As much as we talk about law enforcement and complaints and now the new hot-button influencer topic is flock camera systems and surveillance, it's like, do you people ever go outside, step on the grass, smell some fresh air? What are you doing? So I'm curious, as we go to break, what your top issue is. Is it affordability? Is it taxes? Is it public safety? Is it ICE enforcement? Is it border policy, which impacts immigration, which eventually impacts our workforce? Is it child care? Is it health care? Because I can tell you generally, looking at least 10 different resources this morning, sources, we're in the top half for most. I gave you the ones we weren't. Individual income tax, corporate tax. Generally, and this is probably no surprise to those of us who live and work and play in Wisconsin, awesome states. It's where the reality of our situation meets the irrationality of people, most people, not all, who talk about the condition of the state. Like, take both sides. Take back our state. Fight for our state. Go back to our progressive roots. But while you're saying go back, I thought we were going forward. Wasn't that the messaging? We're going forward. We're not going back. But yet I'm hearing candidates, popular candidates, saying, I'm going to go back. We're going to go back to that. You can't do both. Forward, back, two different directions. So get your messaging straight. Tell me what you think. What's the issue? 855-616-1620. If you have time to text more information, why is that your issue? Why is that paramount in your mind as we approach a primary election in Wisconsin, and later on this fall, a general break. I asked and you answered. Lots of commentary on my question, what's the issue? And a lot of them goes to schools, affordability, school funding, health care, affordability and housing. The average first-time home buyer is I think, 40 years old, 39 or 40 now. That leaves a lot of millennials and Gen Zs out of home ownership. That is certainly a challenge. I think there's some things being done on that front where communities understanding working with their states and their counties to sort of find ways to develop neighborhoods that are more affordable, smaller homes, a little bit closer together, making it work for both the development community and potential homeowners. That is the magic sauce for that fix. That's one of many. Also, working with construction people, home construction, remodelers to take dilapidated properties and bring those back into
conditions where people could actually sell them for more than a dollar or $1,000, and actually that would be a great system of sort of recovery for older homes, older neighborhoods. One of the things, though, that I think we have to figure out, and this is a common one, because I'm reading the comments about school funding, and we've got comments from former school board members in districts all around the area. It needs to be a better system, because we're really whacking seniors hard on property taxes, because they're sort of salary capped. And when you're in a home that's paid for, but you have to pay an ever-increasing property tax bill, and depending on where you live, these things can go up pretty quickly. I was listening to somebody from, I think it was Muskego, and they don't have annual reassessment, and I think they had a huge increase. And somebody from Muskego, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was in that area, general neighborhood, Waukesha County. So that is a challenge. But, and another texter challenged me about Evers working with the Republicans. I'm not saying they had a friendly relationship, but I think Governor Evers, Tony Evers, understood the relationship. We had a Republican-led legislature. He needed budgets done. They got that done. They needed to work together to get surpluses, and I'll give the Republican legislature a lot of credit for that, but the governor signed those bills to give us a surplus. And if you really want to nitpick, this governor worked with this legislature to craft a tax relief bill. Remember that? And then the influencers got a hold of it. Oh, this is bad. This is it's going to bankrupt us. You know, the scare tactics. Instead of understanding that for quite a few years now, this state has run a surplus, and you did not give the money back to the people that paid the taxes. And most of the left-leaning influencers, they never wanted that in the first place. They just didn't say it out loud. They wanted that money to go to other programs which they support, not actually refund the taxpayers that paid it. And I don't need the money, but I would take a $600 check from the state for overpayment of taxes, and I'll donate it, which I think a lot of people would do anyway. These are all important issues, and you should focus on these issues, because that's where the rubber meets the road. We can spend all our time arguing about process and establishment, non-establishment. Waste of our time. No reason to do it other than making a few people that are on social media a few bucks and make their egos explode, or I should say heads explode. Who cares? I want the best states. I want the best leadership. I want the best policies in place. Are there things to improve? Roads, yes. Healthcare for all in a way that doesn't bankrupt us, yes. Childcare, what can we do to both help households and help employers? But that's where compromise comes in. And that's a dirty word for influencers. And if you've sensed a theme from the first hour, I'm not happy with influencers because they frankly carry too much weight. Their opinion should not matter to the degree it does. And I'm frankly sick and tired of hearing from them. But we live in a free country. They can do whatever the hell they want. I have a phrase that I've used for years. Listen better, be smarter. And my part of listen better is put your damn phone down. Stop paying so much attention to what some knucklehead on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, whatever, is saying about politics when they've never worked in politics, held office, run for anything. Why would you care what they say? I'm not an Evers, and I never voted for him, but I respect the governor as I respect the president, even though I never voted for him, because that's the system we have. And this idea that we got to blow everything up and hate everybody and the other side is evil, which is what influencers do all the time, every day, every hour, every minute, every second. How's that working out for us? I'll answer it for you. Not well. I guess that all that talk, Steve's only going after Republicans, will end after today's show. Maybe we should sort of title that with, for all of our posts and reels and all that stuff. Look, somebody said, aren't you an influencer? No, I don't care who you vote for. You vote for who you think is the right person. I do that. You should do that. I don't really care. I tell you what I think about parties. I tell you what I think about candidates, because that's my job. And whether we want to admit it or not, part of the problems we face as constituents, citizens, voters, is a problem we helped create. We allowed anger to dictate our choices in politics. We allowed angry voices to tell us what we should think about politics. And we allowed angry politicians and candidates to decide how elections and campaigns are run. That's not in dispute. That's fact. That's the fact, Jack. So whether you like it or not, I also don't care. And I'm not here to make up things because it makes Republicans look better, conservatives look better, in some weird way, Democrats look better. Although there are times that Kristen and I will model each other's opinions because it's the right thing to do. Helping people is not a political act. I'm doing a series on Schizophrenology, and I'll tease up one that's coming, a brilliant one coming up. It's our fourth in the series of A Matter of Faith, talking about politics and faith. Father Tim Kitsky, Catholic priest in our area, he's a rock star. He actually married Jeff Sherman, which I just found out about. That's going to be, we're going to push it out next week, which is a typical release date, next Wednesday. But if you're a subscriber to the newsletter, Extra Points, which comes out every Sunday at 9, I'm going to give you 5 minutes of it. It's worth it. Directly talking about that question, including this big question. Why do people act differently outside their place of worship than they do with their faith leader inside their place of worship? When you're nodding and agreeing with your faith leader, but your direct behavior, actions, social media commentary is much different outside your church, synagogue, or whatever. It's a fascinating question. So if you want to get that extra, EXTRA, to 855-616-1620, subscribe. And we're going to have a giveaway coming up in the fall, which will be very interesting for all of you. Very, very interesting. We've got a full hour. We're going to talk about measles. I haven't talked about measles and vaccines in a while. We're going to tee that one up. We're going to try to have a little fun in the show today because somebody said, please stop your ranting. Was that a rant or just, I don't know, giving you some medicine that maybe you should listen to a doctor and take that medicine to make you feel better? I'll look at it that way. That's a positive outlook on me giving you some tough talk. And to the person who called me goofy, what do you think now? Am I right or wrong? Reconsider. News is next.
That's the fact, Jack!
That's the fact, Jack!
From the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue, it's time for Point Taken. Here are your hosts, Steve Scafidi and Kristen Braun.
Alas, no Kristen. She's on vacation, taking some well-earned time off, well-deserved, and she needs to rest, frankly. There's a lot going on in Wisconsin politics, and I'm under no illusion that, you know, we're going to figure it all out on this show or any show. But it doesn't stop us from saying it. And thanks for all the kind words. I got a lot of nice love on the text line, including this. Not Steve, you're not ranting. You're giving us clarity to an approach. Whether we listen, that is the question. Thank you for what you and Kristen do. Another text said, I'm a moderate conservative influencer. The influencer tag does not interest me. I would hope that given my tenure on the radio, life experience, public and private sector, elected official experience, working through some pretty serious stories in Oak Creek, both on the development side and obviously the mass shooting, I've earned some of that experience and able to share that in a meaningful way. So when I talk about politics, I'm not kissing anybody's you know what. I really don't. I'm not here to make anybody happy. I don't play favorites. I tell you what I am, but I encourage you to figure out what you are. But do that on your own. Don't let someone else make you into something, because frankly, that's not working for us. All right. I said I was going to talk about measles. I'm not going to spend a ton of time on this, but this story, and I'm not getting into vaccine. We're going to talk about vaccines quickly, but you're either pro-vaccine or you're not. And history has proven vaccines work. There is some serious damage being done by both elected officials, appointed cabinet members, U.S. senators that are anti-vax. I think they're dangerous. They endanger public safety. They've made trumped up claims about what the risks are. And I will certainly put this disclaimer. There are risks to any medical procedure. When you go to the doctor's office, you usually sign off on that. There is no perfect. But as we often say, old phrase, still relevant, don't let perfect be the enemy of good. And vaccines have worked, including for measles. Here's a, as my old boss, Steve Wexler, would say, a dazzling detail. As of this date, in 2026, we've already surpassed measles cases, all the cases for 2025. So we've at least doubled the number of cases across the country. It's a highest level in 35 years, which is not good. So that means measles is coming back, mostly in areas with low vaccine coverage. And if you talk to a doctor, and I have, generally we're looking at 90 to 95% people getting vaccinated. It's sort of keep those numbers down or even in some cases away. So last time it was higher than this was in the 90s. Now, there are people who say to me all the time, because people seek me out on this because they know I'm pro-vaccine. What about natural immunity? Worked for years. And then I go to a stat that I heard from Neil deGrasse Tyson, a smart, super smart science expert, that until about 1840, the average lifespan was, so from the beginning of man to 1840, the average lifespan was about 35 years for an adult. Since 1840, rise of science, technology, vaccines, that number, that longevity has more than doubled. Whatever you think about natural immunity, vaccines work better. So you can say that, but science doesn't support that. Now, I'm not saying we can't force people to get vaccinated unless there's a work requirement where you work. And that, I guess the Supreme Court and other courts have said that's permissible. Because employers have rights too. They have a workplace that impacts more than the individual, but the collective, we in the group. Most reported cases, South Carolina, Utah, Texas, Florida, Arizona. You can think what you want to think about those places. I would say that in the case of vaccines and science awareness, those places aren't going to rank high on my list. I don't mean to be judgmental, but when you see rises like this, the distrust of science, that's what's going to happen. Again, not making it about vaccines and not making it about your personal decision. But when we see parent after parent, family after family, listening to the anti-science people and deciding for whatever reason to not be vaccinated, not pay attention to their doctors, makes me shake my head, as Tester just said to me, although they're saying it to me for a different reason. I put anti-vax people in the same category as, and I know a lot of these people, adults, grown up, I was going to say a different word, grown up adults who are afraid of going to the doctor because they're afraid of what the doctor's going to tell them. Which generally means you live less fulfilling life, more disease, probably going to ultimately impact your personal health because you don't want to go to a doctor. I've seen this over and over again, people who have died far too young in their 60s because they're not heeding the advice of science. So whatever you think about science or doctors or vaccines, I just wanted to present this as an illustration that individual behavior causes a collective problem. And that problem is a growing number of measles cases. And that's just the beginning of this, because as we know, there's vaccines for a lot of things. As somebody who's had shingles, one of the most painful things I've ever experienced, and had the measles as a kid, also very painful. I have memories of that I don't want to go back to. Why would you put a child or a young adult through that? We're going to move on. You're listening to Point Taken. Minus Kristen, who's off this week, all this week, on 620 WTMJ. I don't know if I told this story on the radio before, but I'm a volunteer director of a very old cemetery in Oak Creek. And one of the things that you will quickly realize when you become involved with the cemetery and you get to know the people who have passed away and been buried in your cemetery is the ages of those people. And when I wander through the older section of the cemetery, there are a significant number of young children, babies. I mean, it outweighs the number of adults when you go back to the late 1800s, early 1900s. So, yeah, natural immunity can have positive impact, but it also can destroy the lives of families and children. That's the point. All right, switching gears again, going back to politics. All right, so Kristen always loves to talk about Polymarket and Kalshi. They let you bet on almost everything. One of the things that they let you bet on is, of course, elections. Who's going to win? Who's going to lose? So the Wisconsin Election Commission, which oversees that process in the state of Wisconsin, has issued a warning against voters in our state about betting on their ballots. Now, Polymarket, Kalshi, they allow people to put money on things like elections. But according to the WEC, voters found guilty of betting on an election in their state, our state, could be found guilty of a felony. I'm curious, 855-616-1620, the Siding and Limited WTMJ talk and text line. I think that's fair. I'm not sure about that. I mean, as somebody who likes to gamble, goes to Vegas about four times a year and understands what betting is about, I think it's an interesting proposition used on purpose. But the state law, basically, it's already written, disqualifies Wisconsinites from voting in any election in which the person has made or become interested directly or indirectly in any bet or wager, depending upon the result of the election. Now, is that an individual question or a group collection? So, is it a persuasive thing if you're betting? I don't know. But according to WEC's legal counsel, trading or placing bets on Kalshi and Polymarket count as a bet or wager, which then makes it illegal. Where do you fall on this? I, of all the things we can be concerned about, if somebody wants to bet on their individual votes, because I don't know, there's no persuasive piece of this. Like me voting, and I haven't done this, but it's me voting on an election is not, I guess I said, if I did this, maybe people would, other people, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me. So to make this a crime, seems to go a bit too far. Their news release from WEC, Wisconsin Elections Commission, also said it's incredibly dangerous to democracy. That's the opposite opinion from Kalshi and Polymarket. I don't know. Yeah, it's a tough one for me. So I'm curious what you think. 855-616-1620. From the Commissioner Ann Jacobs from WEC, you want people who have the ability to vote based upon who they believe is their best person for the job, not to line their pocketbooks. And that's hard to argue with. And how extensive this is, I couldn't find out because, again, private companies doing a lot of things is generally not easily accessible. At least that data is hard to find and hard to access to find out who's doing this. But it is it's considered a crime in Wisconsin to get engaged in this stuff. So we'll see how that shakes up because last time I checked, we have a primary election coming up pretty soon here. And of course, a big general election, midterm elections, gubernatorial election here in the state of Wisconsin. Quick break, point taken, 620 WTMJ. A couple minutes here before the bottom of the hour news break. That is 11:30 for you kids out there. Remember when Kristen was mocking me because I have battery-operated clocks? Is that like not a thing anymore? Like, do most people not have alarm clocks? I still have an alarm clock. Jazz, do you have an alarm clock or do you just use your phone?
I just use my phone.
You think
and all clocks I have...
Do you think most people under 50? Do you think most people under 50 just use their smartphones for their alarm clock now?
I don't know. If there's the younger generation looking for technology that isn't on their phone, there might be a rise. They might be going to St. Vincent de Paul to pick them up.
Right.
But otherwise, they probably just use their oven or microwave for the clock.
Yeah. Although that, if you have power outages, and we're going to talk to We Energy's spokesperson next week because I'm still angry about the three power outages we had that were lengthy this summer, but we'll get to that next week. Why am I talking about that? It is a fascinating thing about how we look at technology. And during one of the breaks, I was out in the lobby area of outside the studio area here at WTMJ and ESPN 94.5 and The Truth. And talking about screen time, and this is something that I've been very, very critical of. And I can tell you, maybe vaccines will replace that because I just teed up people who are anti-vaccine. But people get aggressively mad about the fact that you would ever question their amount of screen time. Like, seriously. And I know it's judgmental, and some of it is, but I read the research, and there's not a lot of research that says having excessive screen time, which to me is more than 10 hours or 8 hours, and I think is more realistic, is good for you. Mental health, sleep disruption, anxiety, stress, anger. I mean, unless there's a big disagreement out there, part of what I think is fueling the anger. I should get the anger professor on again. He was awesome. Is social media, screen time, watching these stupid reels. Thankfully, algorithms have changed for me. So I get how to grow tomatoes, how to prune your tomatoes. What's the best tomatoes to grow in Wisconsin? What's your zone? Here's a gardening tip. Here's a landscape tip. Here's a landscape design tip. Thank you, algorithms, for finally realizing that's what I care about. Now, maybe it's because I got off Twitter. And generally, my posts now, if you follow me on Threads and or Facebook, WTMJ Steve, is that I post about gardening stuff. I'll occasionally link to some podcast stuff, but I try to keep, for the most part, politics out of it because, so my point earlier in the show, all the, and I get the irony, so save the text. It's not making us smarter. It's inflaming the egos. I don't think it's inflaming or increasing the pocketbooks of people who are trying to monetize their lives with social media. I know they enjoy it. But it might be the Talking Heads, but you may ask yourself, I think that's the right reference. Talking Heads, yes. Music Files, Elder, tell me if I'm right or wrong. You may ask yourself, all this information that I'm getting from influencers and experts, and I'm air quoting that, of course, is it making me smarter and more informed about politics or just riling me up? I would argue it's the latter. And I'm not sure that excessive riling, use a weird term, or encouraging aggressive fight back behavior is the answer to what ails us. I guess that's the message. So, and I was talking about this with my wife, Kathy. I have tried over the last few months to carve out time in my day for positive things. Could be turning the TV off, putting my phone down, and reading for an hour. Could be just going outside. We spend many evenings just looking at our flowers in our backyard, listening to my mom was called me the other day, and she goes, "Is that the birds I can hear in the background?" I go, "Yeah, that's our background noise," and that will regenerate. I think improve your well being. So going back to the sort of the alarm clock thing, whatever your technology use is, I would just suggest examining it firsthand, not be angry about something, questioning it, and just rethink the strategy. Because again, the only way I think we get back from what ails us is to start reconsidering these things. If you're just going to accept that the future is going to be social media and that's we're just all going to, you know, be a lemming and follow along to these influencers and experts, air quoting that, I'm not sure that's making us smarter. And just to give you some quick feedback, didn't get a ton of text on it, but the I think people are like me on the betting on elections. Not sure what that really is. And I, again, without being able to find out how much, because they're a little protective about their numbers, how many people are actually doing that? I'm just telling you, public information, it might be a crime in Wisconsin. So you might want to think about that if and when they start going after those folks, among other things they could go after folks about. All right, we still have a half hour on Point Taken, a Kristenless edition. She's off all week. We're going to talk about some other things. There'll be some fun stuff. I'll give you a quick tease to tomorrow. Alex Stroff, ESPN 94.5, my co-host on Packers Game Day for all the home games at Lambeau Field, joining us for the first hour tomorrow. And then Jeremy Janine, of course, UrbanWalkie.com. Love it. So we're going to have some fun tomorrow. I know we're a little serious today. I love the feedback again on the show. Somebody emailed me talking about the bird sounds that my mom was hearing when she was talking to me on what she called me the other day. Well, and I love this website. Kristen always rolls her eyes when I go to studyfinds.org. I used to use it a lot when I had my solo show. How about this? Just listening to 10 minutes of bird sounds, recorded bird sounds, lowers your stress ratings, gives you positive feelings. How about that? So think about it. Whether it's all natural, you just hear birds in your yard. And if you don't have a bird bath, what's wrong with you? There's no water anywhere other than ponds and lakes for birds. There's not, you know, water sitting around for birds to drink or to splash in. The biggest kick my wife and I get when we watch our bird bath, and we're going to get another one pretty soon, is we put fresh water in and the robins and sparrows and other birds come in and they just take a full bath. And they sit on our fence and they dry off. That's a stress reliever. So trust the science on that, because now they know. Study of 106 college students. Recorded bird songs, lowest stress ratings, most positive feelings of four subgroups tested. Simple as that. Natural, all natural. All right, speaking of science, you know, there's so many things to talk about when you're talking about science. Thanks, first of all, to Todd Elba for sitting in yesterday for Kristen. He's fun to work with. A lot of energy, a lot of great comments. We disagree on some things, but we also agree on things. And we talked briefly about it. I just wanted to re-up it because I was just talking about feedback in the case of the bird songs. So we did a story that, you know, and it is now, you know, and I know people roll their eyes at this, where coffee now, moderate coffee drinking, is now generally believed to lower the risk of type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and overall mortality. Would you believe that in the course of the time between when we talked about it, which I think was in the 11 o'clock hour yesterday, roughly, and this morning, I got like 12 emails saying, that's bogus. Stop being pro-coffee. I even got one pro-do. Stop telling me what to drink in the morning. You can have do if you want. I don't care. I'm saying stop throwing it in my face when we now know, again, science, up to 3 to 5 standard cups of coffee, as identified by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration of this current administration, is good for you. Now, either love coffee or don't. Is there any mixed feelings on that? Like, if I don't have a cup of coffee in the morning, I generally know that I haven't had a cup of coffee in the morning. And I think it's a, I don't want to say stress reliever, because if you drink too much, it can make you a little bit wired. And I'm certainly somebody who used to drink a lot more coffee. I've felt that. But it is now, the numbers, the science is showing, impacting things like stroke, risk of stroke, liver disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, boosting alertness, focus, and mood. So for all those angry emailers who, one, I always say thanks for the feedback. I don't do it individually anymore because there's too many to answer, but I collectively say thanks for the feedback. Leave the coffee drinkers alone. I know coffee's popular because I see all the coffee places. Until they start building whatever the Starbucks version of a Mountain Dew place would be, I'm going to go with the coffee is very popular. Mindset, narrative. Okay? Now we know it's good for you. Now we know that good coffee is delicious. Now we know you can drink 3 to 5 cups and have a positive impact on your health and stress and all those things. What are you waiting for? Drink some coffee. Go to those local coffee shops. Go to Starbucks if you want to and pay too much for a cup of coffee. Do what you want. But there's no argument now. This current administration says coffee's good for you. I will welcome your feedback on this. I don't know if I'll read any more emails on it, because frankly, 12 on that issue, what we spent 2 minutes on, was a lot. But as always, thank you for your feedback. A break on Point Taken on this Wednesday edition on 620 WTMJ. Interesting debate I'm having on email with, I would say, someone who's sort of they consider themselves an influencer, and I'm not going to say who it is, but very judgmental. Now, I'm being judgmental, and I fully admit that, but I'm paid to have an opinion, as I guess influencers hope to be. Whether this one does or not, I have no idea. My point with this, I'm going to go back, because I like to bookend my conversations on the show, especially when I'm by myself, because Chris and I, we have a fast-flowing, quick-moving show, but when you're by yourself, you have time to sort of expand these conversations. I'm not saying they don't have a right to do it. I'm saying let's just pick the left-leaning influencers, because that's really what got me worked up. And there's equal opportunity people on the other side to do the same thing with. And they're also not worth the price of admission, my term. But if your messaging from the left is Republicans are evil, that might work in the primary. That's not a recipe for success in the general election. Why? Because you need more votes. You need people that aren't necessarily identifying as Democrats. And this, you know, it's maddening to me, this struggle that Democrats seem to be having in what I would call potential opportunity of a lifetime to actually, both at the state level and the federal level, win some pretty significant elections. To muck it up, see what I did there? With infighting name calling. I'm really curious to see what happens at the debate, Channel 12, 7 p.m., July 28th, how this group, this establishment, non-establishment, hand-picked candidates all get along. Now, it's only an hour long, and there's five candidates at the moment. So we'll see how that shakes up. But I trust Matt Smith, Jaron Jordan to get it done right, because they do a pretty good job. Actually, do a great job with their election debate coverage. They have for a while. And their host, they're both hosts of Upfront, which is one of the best political shows nationally you can watch. Because it's real. It's not filled with talking heads. There's a little bit of that, but they sort of go cut through the BS, which I like, which is what I try to do here. So going back to this conversation that I'm having, that I don't want to have, do what you want. But, you know, I'll admit when I don't know something, I have no idea who's going to win this primary for Democrats. I have no idea who's going to win the election. I'll say that out loud. No idea. And if you're saying, let's just pick a candidate because she's been perceived as a front. If you're saying Fran Hong's got this race and everyone's trying to work against her, you're manufacturing nonsense. It's not going to work that way. Voters will decide, not influencers. I know that's a hard reality, and I know you want to make money monetizing your social media life. But I can tell you one of the best decisions I've made is to get off Twitter because I was sick. I started blocking people. It's like, I don't need this noise. And then I said, you know what? Why am I even on here? It's refreshing. It's the pause that refreshes. Sometime in the distant future, maybe I'll get back on. Who knows? Hard to predict the future, as we all know, politics or otherwise. But you folks are taking yourselves too seriously. And when I see you grinning with each other on these little Zoom parties you're having and talking about this election or what it means and how we motivate, it's disingenuous. It's not real. It's self-aggrandizement. It's ego inflating. It's just fake. And while I understand the power of social media and I fight against it every day because I think that's an important battle to fight, my take has always been too much time spent on it and too much aggressive behavior. And if you're demonstrating that aggressive behavior while displaying a grin, you've got a problem. And that problem is both individual and the message you're spreading. There's plenty of great Republicans and there's plenty of great Democrats. Most of us understand that. Regardless of who those groups voted for, good people, honest people, God-fearing, whatever phrase you want to use, good people doing great work every day, raising great families, living a great life. You've decided to demonize people based on their political leanings or categorization. How's that working for? I asked that question a couple times. How's that working out? It's not making us better. That's the answer. I'm answering the question for you. And one last thing on social media. The day we remove anonymous posters is the day this problem is at least 50% better. Those individuals with their hyper-aggressive behavior, their hate-filled screeds, are a big part of the problem. They are a big reason why we see the rise in violent behavior, my opinion, attitudes toward each other, and the hate that gets displayed every day in this country, online, and elsewhere, in lines at the grocery store, at ballparks, public parks, which goes back to my last tease for the podcast. I have a fantastic interview with Father Tim Kitsky, Catholic priest from our area. I've done 4 Faith and Politics, a Matter of Faith podcasts for the Screediology group, and it is one of the best. And it is a conversation we all need to listen to because he directly addresses conduct inside and outside his church, or churches, I should say. That's a message that needs to be listened to. He's one of the smartest people I've ever interviewed. He's a deep thinker. He was dropping historical references. That's what I expect from a Screediology guest, and I'm never disappointed because I picked the right people to be on the show and the podcast. He delivers. If you want to see some of that, because it's going to get published next Wednesday, the full podcast, on our websites and all your favorite podcast platforms, text the word EXTRA, E-X-T-R-A, 855-616-1620. Just subscribe to the newsletter. We don't overburden you. It's once a week, 9 a.m. Sunday. It's a quick read. There's fun stuff in there. There's politics in it. Whatever you want to take away. I do a lot of gardening stuff or podcasts, other podcasts I listen to. It's a fantastic resource for someone who just wants to be plugged back in a positive way. Text the word extra, 855-616-1620. You won't be disappointed. And then let me know how you what you think about it. And we even took a week off from the poll because Kristen, this is sort of her thing, and she's off this week. So we're taking a breath from the poll. We lightened the load for me and our team here, Jazz included. So we made it a little bit easier. But if you want that early listen and watch to our podcast with Father Tim Kitsky, who is a rock star, priests and faith leaders, subscribe to the podcast. You can also find the link at the bottom of our homepage at WTMJ.com. Have I said enough today? No, because I still have one more segment after this. That's a quick 2 hours. You know, when I sat down this morning, actually last night, I was laying in bed thinking about what I wanted to do. I wanted to make this sort of return to what I used to do because Kristen's not here and I wasn't having any guests. There's a chance for a surprise guest. He's going to actually join us next week. So we'll tell you all about that. I think it's Tuesday or Wednesday, but don't quote me on that. It'll be interesting because it's an issue that I've been talking a lot about. My friend at work, Eric Bilstead, one of my friends at work, who, if you don't know, I haven't heard the story before, is the reason I work here. Because he called me 1 year in 2016 and said, "You ever think about working on radio?" I go, "Not really, Eric." I worked in PR at the time, and of course I was the mayor of Oak Creek. If you didn't know that. Wink, wink, nod, nod, save those texts. Those angry texts, because you know they're coming. He does this thing called What I Learned Today. So, and he does it brilliantly, and he's really good. And it's not just work. It's away from work, too. And Eric is a storyteller and news person extraordinaire and probably one of the best human beings I know. And that's not a classification I throw around lightly because it should be rarefied air, and Eric is that person. The challenges he's faced health-wise, working through all of that, doing the job for so the dude's in his 40s, and he's been here for 22 decades already. And who knows what other stories are ahead of him because he's so good at what he does. But anyway, what I learned today, nod to Eric Bilstead, is that anger seems to be a motivator for some people, whether it's radio squawkers, whether it's influencers on social media, whether it's emailers. And all I'm saying is, whether it's the amount of screen time you spend looking at angry people on social media, whatever that is, whatever that mix, as Dr. Ryan Martin, I believe is his name, the anger professor from the UW. He'll yell at me if I'm wrong. It's either Green Bay or Oshkosh, but he'll let me know. If you understand that you have a problem with anger and then you address it, maybe that solves some of the other underlying factors of violent behavior, aggressive behavior, hate-filled rhetoric, excessive politicization of everything, including sports. Maybe that's part of the answer. So when I talk about screen time, social media, influencers, politics equals stupidity for a lot of people, that's what I'm talking about. Great show tomorrow. Alex Strofe, Jeremy Janine, I'll be back. Will you? We'll find out after the news.